in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Can you worship him from the depth of your heart? Let spontaneous worship just flow from your heart to your King, to your Lord, to your lover. Just express your love to him. Express your love. Express your worship. Just tell him how much you love him. Soboradika baragadia. Randa koska bora bagadea. Ilaborakida sapalatiza. Let words of praise, words of thanksgiving, words of worship, let it flow spontaneously as you minister to the Lord in worship. Abora sida halabate, mandeke pora sida halabatai, ila brandeke pose peletena, abababora balakatai. Thank you, Father. Father, we worship you. We live to worship you. We adore you. We honor your presence in our midst. We declare that the eyes of our understanding is enlightened. We declare that our spirit is flooded with light. Thank you for a fresh outpouring of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Thank you, Father, for the spirit of understanding. Thank you, Father, for a fresh outpouring, a baptism of the spirit of faith. Enlighten us. Empower us. Thank you, Father. At the end of the day, may your name be glorified. Thank you for granting us a seeing eye and a hearing ear and a wise and an understanding heart. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, clap your hands, O ye people. Is that how you celebrate? Clap your hands, O ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord. With a voice of triumph, come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. You know, today is a special day for so many reasons. Hallelujah. I used to tell people, I have two birthdays every year. One is 3rd February, the second one is 23rd March. And yesterday happens to be the birthday of Pastor Simi, my wife. Hallelujah. Today, we'll be celebrating. You know, today is double barrel service. Just tell your neighbor, say, do you know today is double barrel service? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, God had me in mind the day he created her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you just celebrate Jesus? Now tell your neighbor, say, welcome to the school of faith. You might be seated in heavenly places. Faith to Frame Your World, Part 3. I love this series. I love to teach on faith. Glory to God. The day I realized the Christianity in its entirety is called defeat, I became serious with the subject of faith. Hallelujah. Acts 6 verse 7. It says, great company of the priests became obedient to the faith. And that expression, the faith, refers to the whole of Christianity. Praise God. Faith to Frame Your World, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. How many of you are enjoying this teaching series? Glory to God. Hebrews 11:3. It says, through faith, or by faith, we understand. Glory to God. So we don't understand by the senses. We don't understand by our physical senses. We understand through faith that the walls, the aeon, the Greek word wall there is the word aeons. Aeons talks about the various dispensation in time. Aeon means the course of life. So through faith you can frame the course of your life. Glory to God. Aeon also means perpetuity. It also means eternity. Glory to God. Various dispensations. It also means ages. The various ages. Glory to God. Eternity is a summation of infinite eons. Glory to God. Is it through faith we understand that the world or dispensation or ages or course of life or eternity, glory to God, were framed. The word frame is a Greek word katatizo. In the part one, we looked at the meaning. We said that word framed, katatizo in the Greek, means to complete thoroughly. That means if your life is appearing incomplete in the physical, you can complete it by faith. So it doesn't matter what is missing in your life. It doesn't matter what appears to be lacking or what appears to be incomplete. By faith, am I communicating? By faith, you can what? Complete it thoroughly. Glory to God. That word frame also means to restore to perfection. To restore to perfection. Okay? That word frame, it also means to mend or to repair something. You know the way a lot of us are fashion designers here, the way tailors is, they mend clothes that is torn. You know, the way you mend things together. Glory to God. You repair it. So even if your life is broken or damaged, you can repair it by faith. You can repair it by faith. Glory to God. It means to repair, to mend what is broken, what has been rent, what has been damaged. Whether it is your finances, your relationship, your health that has been damaged or broken, you can repair it by faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That word framed, katatizo, also means to equip. It means to put in order. I like this one. If your life is out of order, you can put it back in order by faith. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So it doesn't matter what is out of order. By faith, you can put it back in order. Quagmire situation, financial crisis, health crisis. If your life is out of order, by faith, you can put it in order. That word frame also means to arrange. So if your life is in disarray, you can arrange it by faith. Glory to God. It also means to adjust, to prepare, to make fit. So if you are unfit, if your life is not, your health or any part of your life, your finances, your business is not looking fit, you can make it fit by faith. Glory to God.
So by faith, the walls were framed by the word of God, by the rhema of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hallelujah. You can get the part 1 and part 2 from our Telegram channel at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. All you need to do with your smartphone, Android or Apple, glory to God, iPhone, just search for the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International in your Android Play Store, Apple Store, glory to God. Then click the button join the Telegram channel. You can get all our messages, including the part 1 to 2. Or you can get it from the media stand for free. Glory to God. Last week we looked at what real Bible faith is and what it is not. We also looked at why faith is necessary. Glory to God. We'll take off from there. Now, let me start by saying this. Every true believer in Christ already has received the measure of faith. So you have faith. As long as you are born again, you have faith already. Glory to God. You have faith already. Every believer in Christ has already received the measure of faith. Give me Romans 12 verse 3. The measure of faith. So Jesus told his disciples that if ye have faith as small as a mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove to yonder place, and it will obey you. He said, if ye have, because they didn't have it. They were not born again at that point. Are you listening? But if the good news is that if you are a born again Christian, as a child of God, you already have faith. You received the measure of faith at new birth. The day you got born again, you received the measure of faith. It came with the gospel that was preached to you, the gospel of your salvation. Am I communicating? That gospel came with the measure of faith. So the new creation in Christ was born with faith already installed. Just the way you install applications into phone, right? Praise God. You came with that software of faith already installed. And your faith is not inferior. It is made in Christ. It is the God kind of faith. Glory to God. The God kind of faith, not sense knowledge faith. The God kind of faith, not Thomas-like faith. You know Thomas-like faith? The type of faith Thomas had, that unless I see with my eye and touch with my hand, I will not believe. That one is sense knowledge faith. I'm talking of real Bible faith, the God kind of faith. Am I communicating? Every new creation in Christ was born with faith. That software already installed. Okay? Look at it. Romans 12 verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. To think of yourself more highly than you ought to think is another definition of pride. Okay? He didn't say you should not think of yourself highly. He said don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Okay? Glory to God. Just understand the tenses. He said, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man. He was writing to believers. Paul was writing to believers, the church in Rome. He said, God had dealt to every man that is in Christ. What? The measure of faith. So every born again Christian has received this the measure of faith. It's a definite measure. Glory to God. Then give me 2 Peter 1, Apostle Peter called it like precious faith in 2 Peter 1 verse 1. 2 Peter 1 verse 1, Apostle Peter called that faith that every believer has received in Christ like precious faith. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained what? Like precious faith with us.
through the righteousness of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. He was writing to believers. He said to them that have obtained what? Like precious faith. Glory to God. In Christ, you have obtained like precious faith with the apostles. Say with me, I have faith. I was born with it. Then the next point I want you to note is that though you have received the measure of faith or like precious faith in Christ, it is your responsibility to cultivate and utilize that faith. Very important. It is your responsibility to cultivate that faith. You cultivate it, you build it, and then you use it or exercise it. You put it into use. Glory to God. So you must learn how to cultivate or build your faith, and you must learn how to use your faith, put it to use, exercise it. Glory to God. So you must learn how to grow that measure of faith or like precious faith, and then you must learn how to exercise it, put it to use, put it to work, because strong faith comes by exercise. The same way the more people use their muscle through exercise and all of that, hypertrophy, okay? It just like our physical muscles become stronger through exercise, right? It's the same way your faith muscles, they become strengthened through exercise, constant use. Learn to use your faith the same way you use your toothbrush. Hallelujah. See, when you are confronted with challenge, don't is it one of the reasons why people's faith is so weak? It's because anytime they face challenge, instead of addressing it with their faith, it's an opportunity to exercise your faith, to put it to work, to use it to overcome that challenge. You know what many do? They look for other beggarly alternative. They look for beggarly alternative. See, the 100 naira you got by exercising your faith when you need money is more important than the 1 million you got by borrowing. Strong faith comes by exercise. Learn to put your faith to work. Is your health under attack? Be intentional. People may laugh at you at some point. No problem. Keep working on your faith. Glory to God. Even when you must take drug, take it in faith, not in fear. Praise God. I say praise God. Because for some people, exercising their faith for healing, part of the corresponding action the Holy Spirit will inspire them is to go and take drugs. Yeah. Because God deals with everybody at the level of their faith. Faith is compartmentalized. So you build your faith for all the different areas of life. You build your faith for finance. You build your faith for your health. Am I communicating? You build your faith for success in your business. You build your faith for success in relationship, in marriage. Am I communicating? You build your faith for success in your career, in your job, in your academics. Because the fact that your faith is strong in one area does not mean automatically it is strong in other areas. You must intentionally build your faith in all the various areas of your life using the word of God. Some people's faith can be strong in the area of finance, but when it comes to their health, their faith is weak. Why? Because they've not built their faith there. Glory to God. And vice versa. God spoke to somebody, a believer, a lady, or is it a woman? I heard this story. God spoke, she has been trusting God for healing, releasing her faith. God then spoke to her. He said, I will heal you gradually. Then the woman came for a meeting, and the man of God was ministering under the anointing, and he had a word of knowledge about her, and he looked at her and he said, "The Lord says he's going to heal you now." Then the woman said, "But God told me he will heal me gradually." Now watch this, just follow me carefully. Which of them is correct? Let me ask you. Who is right among them? God spoke to her that I will heal you gradually. The man of God said, under the anointing, your healing is now. God wants to heal you now. Who among them is right? Huh? Now listen, both of them are right. Let me explain. God spoke to her based on her level of faith. Do you understand? God told her, "I will heal you gradually," because that is what her faith can carry. And then God spoke to the man who had a word of knowledge concerning her. Why? Because this is the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit under the anointing. Are you getting my point? It is unto you according to your faith. It's not God's fault. God told her, "I will heal you gradually," because her faith has not been built up to receive her healing instantly. It's not because it's God's fault. No. So whether it will take you 20 days or take you 20 seconds is according to your faith. Are you getting me? It is unto you according to your faith. Your healing is unto, including the timing of your healing. Some people can see the manifestation of their healing instantly, while some, they begin to recover gradually. All is dependent on what? Your level of faith. You know, faith is in levels. Faith is in degrees. So you must be intentional about building your faith. Glory to God. You labor in the word. You meditate on the word. Prayerful, chronic meditation to build your faith. You listen to God's word just like you are listening. Do you know as you are hearing God's word, your faith is being built? Are you aware? Because Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It was Dr. Mike Murdock said that made a very profound statement. Dr. Mike Murdock, he said, "The most important person in your life is the person that builds your faith." What a profound statement. The most important person in your life is the person that builds your faith. The person that anytime you listen to them, your faith is built. That person plays a very important role, because everything else in your life depends on your faith. So the person building your faith, it matters to your life. A big deal. Glory to God. I say glory to God. It matters what you hear. You know, there are some teachings that I don't know. There are some teachings that are always making Christians exposing their weaknesses, teachings that cripple people's faith, teachings that are always making people feel condemned, teachings that are making people always aware of their inadequacies, their weaknesses, and all of that. See, let me tell you the truth. If you keep listening to those messages, your faith will soon become dead. It will cripple your faith. You can't live the victorious Christian life that way. It doesn't work that way. You should listen to messages that build your faith. Am I communicating? Even when the Holy Spirit is correcting you through His word, it will not leave you condemned. Glory to God. So it matters what you hear. It matters the kind of messages you listen to. Because some of the teachings people are hearing is responsible for the failures and frustration they are experiencing in life. You can't be listening to messages that is always feeding your weaknesses, exposing inadequacies, you know, messages that are is always condemning you, and expect to live a triumphant Christian life. It doesn't work that way. praise God. I say praise God. But if you are listening to Diet of Champions like the one we are giving you, you understand? The word of faith. As in the word that builds faith, that imputes faith, that fires up faith, like the way you give people injection. Glory to God. It's the food of champions we are feeding you here with. Praise God. Then the next thing I want you to understand is that you must learn to exercise your faith to walk in victory. 1 John 5:4. Whosoever is born of God overcometh. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Learn to exercise your faith to walk in victory, to walk in dominion, to walk in triumph, and in order to fulfill your earthly mission, ministry, or calling. Okay. Now, the faith we are talking about here is not just. Okay, let me put it this way. It is faith in both the principles and the personality of God's word. Two things. Faith in both the principles of God's word and faith in the personality of God's word. So it's not just faith in a principle. It is also faith in a person. Who is the personality of God's word? God himself, right? So you see what faith is based upon? It's based upon not just the principles of God's word, but the person of the word. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and look at that last phrase, and the word was God. Read it again. 1, 2, 3, let's read it together. And the word was God. So put the word of God equals to God himself. So God and his word are one and the same. Am I communicating? So our faith is not just in the principles of the word. Our faith is in the personality of God's word. And that personality of the word is God himself. You see why faith cannot fail? Because God cannot fail. The person of God is behind it. Am I communicating? For God's word to fail, for faith based on his word to fail, is for God to fail. And can God fail? Impossible. Let me show you another scripture that proves the personality of God's word as God himself. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. So our faith is not just in a principle. It is also in the person of God, which is his word. It says, for the word of God is quick. That word quick means alive, living. And then powerful, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Praise God. It says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the word of God is a discerner, like a scanning machine, of the thoughts and intent of the heart. The word of God affects your spirit, soul, and body. The word of God can transform your spirit, soul, and body. The total man. Now, he's talking of the word of God, right? Look at verse 13. Follow me carefully. Verse 13. Watch this. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. He uses a pronoun there, right? His sight. That means the word of God is a person. You don't use his for just a thing. It didn't say its sight. It didn't say its, I-T-S. He uses his. That means he's talking of a person. In verse 12, he said the word of God. Are you seeing something? So the word of God is a person. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. That means the word of God has eyes, watching all your attitude towards him. His sight. The Word of God is a personality. Has eyes. Watching. And guess what? Your attitude towards God's Word reveals your attitude towards God. Because God equals to His Word. So, listen. If you will doubt or disbelieve God's word, is as good as you doubting and believing, disbelieving God Himself. As in, if Jesus should appear and say those same words, you will also doubt and disbelieve Him. Praise God. So neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto Him. You see, again, Him. Another pronoun, Him. It's a person with whom we have to do. Nothing can be hidden from the Word. Glory to God. So the Word of God has eyes. It's a person. It's watching all your attitude. Learn to respond correctly to the Word. You know, we say faith, one of the definitions of faith we looked at is a positive response of the human spirit to what? The Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, next, every believer's faith must be tested and tried in this life. Every believer's faith must be tested and must be tried in this life. Give me 1 Peter 1 verse 6 and 7. 1 Peter 1 6. Your faith must be tested. Your faith must be tried. Every challenge you face, the Bible calls it the trial of your faith. Every problem you face in this life, the Bible calls it the trial of your faith. Your faith must be tested. Glory to God. There is no such thing as untested faith. Except you are not living on planet Earth. Your faith must be tested. It must be tried. Every problem, challenge, predicament, contrary situation or circumstance you go through in life or you are faced with is an opportunity to use your faith. Okay? It's an opportunity to use your faith to overcome it, to walk in victory. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, ye are in what? Paul writing to believers, ye are in heaviness through what? Manifold temptations. Is that full stop? No. Colon, verse 7. He said that the trial of your faith. Did you see that? They were in heaviness. They were depressed. All of that discouraged. Weighed down. Because of the manifold temptation. Plenty temptation. And Apostle Paul described those temptations they are facing as what? The trial of your faith. The temptations that come your way is a trial of your faith. They come to test your faith, okay? That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You see that? Even gold has to be tried, refined by going through the furnace, right? When they mine gold direct from the earth, the value is very little. Because it's still in its raw form. It needs to be refined. The gold must be refined. It needs to be purified. All those dross have to be removed. All those impurity. So it has to go through the furnace. And the fire, the fire in the furnace will burn off those dross. Burn off those, what do they call them? Contaminants and all of that. It will purify the gold. And increase the carat value of the gold. Hallelujah. So it's a similar thing. He said that is how test, temptation, tribulation, they come to try your faith. In the same way gold is purified. Trial of your faith, he said, is even more precious than of gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. If you read the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, you keep hearing that phrase. To him that overcometh, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. He will sit down at the right hand of God. To him that overcometh, I will give him a special this thing. You will keep hearing that phrase, to him that overcometh. That means heaven that we are going is the resting place of overcomers. And how do you overcome? By your faith. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It doesn't matter what you are facing, overcome it by your faith. Put your faith to work. Release your faith. Unleash it. Oh, I'll be talking about fighting the good fight of faith later. Glory to God. Heaven is a resting place for overcomers. May your name be found there. Give me 1 Peter 4 verse 12. Every believer's faith must be tested and tried. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. So it's not a strange thing. The affliction you are going through is not a strange thing. The challenge you are going through in your health, in your, that sickness is not a strange thing. Am I communicating? Your financial difficulty is not special. It's not strange. Every temptation is common. Am I communicating? They all answer to your faith. The Bible calls it the trial of your faith. So if you understand that all of life's problems, temptation, tribulation are coming to try your faith, is it not wisdom to take building your faith serious and learning everything you can about it and learning how to put it to work? This was the understanding I got some years back that made me take the subject of faith seriously. Because I came to realize all the problems of this life, they answer to my faith. Praise God. It is not strange. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Watch this. It says, therefore had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Tell your neighbor it's common. Stop making your problem look special. You know, most of the time Satan will want to convince you that your own case is special, as in it has never happened to anybody before. It's a lie. There is nothing you are going through that people have not faced before. It is common. Cancer is common. HIV is common. It is common. You are not the first. You will not be the last. Are you in debt? It is common. Are you broke to the letter E? It is common. Are you broke like a broken plate? It is common. You can change it by your faith. You can change your condition by your faith. Am I communicating? You say, I'm still single at 40 something. It is common. Barrenness is common. Sarah faced it at 90, but they overcame. Say, I have carryover. It is common. I repeated, it is common. I was withdrawn, it is common. Listen, carryover is better than repeating. Repeating is better than withdrawal. Withdrawal is better than committing suicide. So in every situation, give thanks. As long as you are still alive, give thanks. He said, unto him that is joined to the land of the living, there is hope. As long as you are alive. See, it doesn't matter what you have lost. As long as you have not lost your life, there is hope for you. Did you lose money? No problem. It is common. He said, they scammed me. It is common. Yahoo boy scammed you. It is common. Praise God. You know, somebody met me to tell me how all these online thieves, Yahoo boys, how they scammed him. You know, they use you know, those people are very funny. They will send you friend requests using people's, all these men of God, apostle this, apostle that. Na lie. Then later they will now start chatting you up and giving you fake prophecies. Say, as I'm speaking to you right now, I can see you are in front of a major breakthrough, major open door. But there are many adversaries, village people. But I'm going to pray for you, and the door will open and it will clear all those people. But you need to sow a seed into an orphanage. Now lie. Will now use oh God, may you not be a victim again. This person said it was his Kufiso student that they collected, and they were asking for more money. That was even why he came and met me for counseling. The Bible says there is no temptation that has taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Hey! No matter what you are going through, number one, understand that your problem is common to man. It's common. Don't make it look special. Don't make Satan cause you to think that it is special or peculiar to you. No. It is what? Come on, number one. Number two, God is faithful. What does it mean? God is reliable. God is dependable. Human beings may run away, even your friends. You know, when Job's predicament started, a lot of his friends deserted him. Eh? Yeah, the Bible says a lot of them ran away. But later, when God turned his captivity and restored his fortune, gave him times two, those friends started coming back. Say, yeah, I'm sorry, oh, we heard. We heard what happened to you. We read it in newspaper. We even saw it on the news. Where were they? That's human beings for you. Praise God. In your times of adversity, that is when you know your true friends. And then in your own days of prosperity, your friends knows the true you. It's true. Because some of you, we don't know your real self until 1 billion enter your hand. Because nothing reveals character like money. Money will reveal the true color of people's heart and their true character. Some people are appearing humble because they are still. Real money has not come. By the time you give them $10 million. In fact, if you greet them on the road, they will not even answer. Praise God. You know, somebody said, never trust the humility of a poor man. Wait until money enters his hand. And then another person said, never trust the holiness of a poor man. Wait until real money comes. Because some sins are very expensive to commit. He cannot afford them. You don't know, some sins are expensive to commit. To lodge a prostitute in Transcorp Hilton, to be sleeping with her for 1 week, can a poor man afford it? Can a poor man afford to lie to his wife that he's going for business trip, then he will fly to UK to meet his concubine there, fly again to US, lodge them? Can a poor man pay for that? So, money reveals people's true character, okay? If you want to know people's true character, number one, give them money. Number two, give them power. Power too reveals people's true character, okay? Praise God. Give them position of authority. It's another way you know their character. Because all of that, it gives them the leverage to control others. So you will know their true character. There are some people, if you give them power now, what? They will be giving everybody frog jump every day. Say, you talk to me like that. Lock him up. 7 days. Give him just water without any food. Praise God. No temptation that is taking you except that which is common to man, but God is faithful. Oh, God say, I will never ever leave you. No matter what you are going through, God is with you. You may feel lonely. It does not mean his presence is not there. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. You may be going through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with you. His presence is not in your feeling. His presence is in his word. He said, I will never ever leave you. Am I communicating? Greater is he that is in you. So some people are funny. Just because you are feeling lonely, just because they are feeling lonely, they will now conclude that God has left them. Who told you? Who? How can you even prove it? When did God say that in his word? Even in your loneliness, his presence is with you. It's you that has not decoded that is with you. It's you that has failed to recognize his presence and take advantage of it. So that you are feeling lonely does not mean you are alone. Tell your neighbor that you are feeling lonely does not mean you are alone. Jesus said, I will never ever leave you. Everybody may run away from you because of your problems, but not Jesus. God is with you. They said, the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face as a flint, and I know I shall not be put to shame. Are you getting me? He's with you. God is your very present help in time of trouble. So you receive well-timed help. He is dependable. He is reliable. You can trust him 100%. God is trustworthy. Human beings may fail you, but not God. He says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. In other words, the temptation that will come your way are tailor-made temptation. Tailor-made. God weighed you and your faith, and then God weighed the size of the challenge, and God said, okay, my son can handle this one. That's why he permitted it. Anyone that will overwhelm your faith, God will never permit it. Are you seeing something? He said God will not tempt you above your ability to deal with the temptation. So any temptation that comes, any challenge, any problem, you can handle it. Tell your neighbor you can handle it with your faith. They are tailor-made temptations. But with the same temptation, also make a way of escape. Every problem comes with a seed of its solution. Every problem gravitates towards its solution. I say every problem gravitates towards its solution. So if the problem came to you, congratulations, that means you have the solution. Every problem gravitates towards its solution. There is a way of escape. There is a way of escape out of every temptation. How will you know the way of escape? Find out from God's word. Meditate on the word. Engage in prayer. Pray in the spirit. There is a way of escape. The wisdom of God will come to you, and the wisdom of God will show you the way. Are you getting me? The wisdom of God will reveal the way. Glory to God. As you engage in prayerful, chronic meditation, as you pray in the spirit, meditate on the word, you spend time in fellowshipping with God, the fountains of wisdom is activated, is open, and like a flowing brook, the wisdom of God will show you the way of escape, how to overcome the temptation. There is always a way out. Tell your neighbor, there is a way out. Yeah, there is a way out. Let the Holy Ghost open your eyes. Let him give you insight into mysteries and secrets. Let him open the eyes of your understanding. There is a way out. There is a way out. All you need to do is to locate it, to see it by revelation. Praise God. The Bible says, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How do you see the unseen? with the eyes of faith. Faith can see the invisible. Faith can see the invisible word of God. Faith can see the invisible solution. You can see the unseen with your eyes of faith, with the eyes of the Spirit. Why we look not, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17 and down to 18. He said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, the problem you are seeing, the temptation, the trials, they are temporal, they are subject to change. But the unseen things of the Spirit are eternal. Glory to God. The word of God you cannot see with your physical eyes is eternal. And by engaging your faith in the word of God, it can change those things that you are seeing. Glory to God. Okay, give me 17. Let me show you something. Give me this in Message translation. Message. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Can we read this together? I love this. 1, 2, 3, go. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. Let's take it again. 1, 2, 3, go. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration for us. Are you going through hard times? They are small potatoes. Tell your neighbor, they are small potatoes. Are you going through lack or scarcity or economic famine or sickness or pain? He said they are what? Small potatoes. Is your business suffering hiccups? He said they are what? Small potatoes. Are you having an academic challenge? They are what? Small potatoes compared to the coming good times. Hallelujah. I love this. Give me an amplified. Kalobosabakidas. He said, for our light momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour, is ever and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcended glory and blessedness never to cease. Verse 18. He says, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, oh my God, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporal. They are brief and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Glory to God. So it is by engaging your faith that you turn or convert test and temptation into testimonies. Hallelujah. So by faith, you can turn test and temptation into testimonies. By faith, you can convert trials and tribulation into triumph. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be unto God who causes us to triumph always. By faith, you turn test, trials, tribulation into triumphs, into testimonies. In John 16:33, Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world for you. And how did Jesus overcome the world? It was by his faith. Glory to God. And we maintain that victory the same way, by faith. By engaging your faith, you can turn every obstacle into miracles. The miracles of faith. So faith will turn obstacles into miracles. Faith will convert stumbling blocks into stepping stones. Faith will turn every opposition into enviable positions. It will turn opposition into promotions and progress opportunities. Every problem you face is opportunity to be promoted. Think of it. After the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when their faith was tried, Can you remember the story? They refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's graven image. And then they threw them into the fiery furnace that was heated 7 times hotter. At the end of the whole thing, what happened? They were promoted. Go and read the story. The king said there is no God like their God. There was the appearance of a fourth man. There was a Christophany there. Am I communicating? The king said, promote these men. So the end point of the trial of your faith is promotion. Watch this. Every problem you are facing is opportunity to use your faith and overcome it and get promoted. You never return to the same level after using your faith to overcome challenges. It says, Romans 8 verse 37, it says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are super victorious in Christ Jesus. You don't become a conqueror if there is nothing to conquer. So you have to conquer challenges. Conquer, am I communicating? Opposition, test, trial. It is faith that turns pressures, the pressures of life, financial pressure, family pressure, pressure here and there. It is like faith that turns the pressures of life into pleasures, delight, pleasures, and then treasures. Glory to God. Faith will convert conflicts, the conflicts, challenges, and confrontations of life into conquest and championship. You know, no champion ever emerges without fighting. Have you ever seen anybody crown heavyweight champion, boxing heavyweight champion? Who is the heavyweight champion? Anthony Joshua, right? Have you ever seen anybody crown a champion without fighting? Impossible. Does anyone ever imagine a conqueror enjoy conquest without a fight? There must be conflict. There will be confrontations, right? There will be challenges, there will be fights. It is faith that turns all these things. Glory to God. Listen, you know, when we teach on faith, some people have the wrong impression and think that faith simply means your life will be smooth. No. Faith does not make things easy. Faith makes all things possible. Listen, you know, faith does not make things easy. It does not make life easy. It makes all things possible. The challenges will still be there, but it is by your faith that you overcome them and walk in victory. Faith is the means by which you what? Walk in victory over life's challenges and difficulties. So faith does not guarantee a problem-free life. Rather, faith is a way to walk in victory, is the solution to those challenges. Glory to God. Are you enjoying this? Listen to this. No matter how shattered, battered, and scattered your life or your world is right now, it can still be gathered and arranged and restored by faith. I read it again. No matter how shattered, battered, and scattered your life or your world is right now, it can still be gathered, arranged, and restored by faith. And no matter how punctured, ruptured, and damaged your life or your world is at the moment, it can still be sutured and framed by faith. I take it again. No matter how punctured, ruptured, or damaged your life or your world is at the moment, it can still be sutured, mended, and framed by faith. Real Bible faith. Faith has both creative and recreative power. God created the world by his faith. God recreated the world again by his faith. Am I communicating? 1 Timothy 6 verse 12. Fight, Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, fight the good fight of faith. lay hold on the internal life. Timothy was a pastor that later became a bishop of the church in Ephesus. Am I communicating? Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, who was pastoring one of the churches Apostle Paul planted in Ephesus. Timothy was his spiritual son, okay, and mentee. He says there will be challenges to Timothy. Son Timothy, there will be challenges. There are challenges in ministry. He said, you must learn to fight the good fight of faith. Glory to God. You must learn to fight the good fight of faith. When I was talking, I laughed because I just thought of the challenges even we've got to fight. Some challenges we faced over the years doing ministry that we needed to fight the good fight of faith. Praise God. He says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Why is it called the good fight? It's not a bad fight, it's a good fight. Why is it called the good fight? It's called a good fight because in this fight, we are not fighting for victory. We are not fighting for victory. Am I communicating? We are not fighting for victory. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. From victory. In order to enforce our victory. Praise God. We are not fighting for victory because Jesus has already done that for us. He has already obtained the victory, okay? By his substitutionary sacrifice, his death, his burial, his resurrection, he conquered Satan, defeated the cold of darkness, conquered sin. Am I communicating? Conquered sickness, poverty, all of that. Conquered hell, conquered death, conquered the grave, and arose a victorious general. Jesus has already obtained the victory. He has already secured the victory. He has already defeated Satan and the kingdom of darkness. And guess what? He gave us the victory. He's now saying, fight to maintain that victory. Are you seeing something? So the good fight of faith is a fight. Okay, I'm going to define it. To maintain what has been obtained for us. To maintain the victory that Jesus has already obtained. Okay? Why are we still fighting if Jesus has already gotten the victory? It's because we have an adversary. His name is called Satan. There is an opposition called the kingdom of darkness, and they are still on earth. And you see, Satan is a rebel. Satan is a rebel. Satan and his demons, they are rebels. They are rebel holders of authority. Though they've been defeated, they will still not give up. So that's why he's saying you should fight. You fight from victory. From a vantage position of victory. Your victory in Christ. In order to enforce your victory and enforce Satan's defeat. Are you seeing something? So, the fact that Jesus has already obtained the victory for you does not mean you just fold your hand and do nothing. You'll be surprised what Satan will do. Am I communicating? Never underestimate your enemy. It's not a winning strategy. Even in football, even in sport, winning teams that are favorites, that are superior, have been surprised by underdog teams. Because they underrated the underdog in competitions. True of us. So underestimating your enemy is not a winning strategy in warfare. Overestimating your enemy is also wrong. So Satan is a worthy opposition. So don't tell your neighbor, don't overestimate the enemy, okay? Neither should you underestimate the enemy, okay? Deal ruthlessly with him, okay? So, He says, fight from victory, from that advantage position of victory. In order to enforce our victory in Christ and enforce the defeat of the enemy. Glory to God. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Glory to God. That word lay hold, I love it. Epilambanomai. That's a Greek word. It means to seize for safety. To seize for accomplishment. To take possession of something with your both hands. Am I communicating? To seize for attainment or for accomplishment. Lay hold on eternal life. Let me ask you a question. Have you heard or seen believers die in an accident? Okay, yes. Ask yourself this question. They died in that accident. Is it because they don't have eternal life? Is it because they don't have eternal life? They do. So what happened? They did not lay hold. Watch this. They did not, you know, we said this word, lay hold, epilambanomai. It means to seize for safety. They didn't take advantage or put into use what they have. Are you seeing something? You seize it by faith for safety. You fight the good fight of faith. You lay hold on eternal life. You take possession of it. Vitally, am I communicating? You seize it for safety. You seize it for accomplishment. You take possession of your inheritance in Christ. Am I communicating? That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and as profess. The Greek word is homologio, saying the same thing in consent, saying the same thing with God in consent or in agreement. You have to agree with God by agreeing with his word. You say the same thing about your life, about your situation, that God is saying in his word. So you find out what God have said. You find out his will from his word, and then you put that word in your heart. You put it in your mouth. You say the same thing. That's what it means to confess. And your confession determines your possession. You can change your condition by your confession. You can change your circumstances, contrary circumstances, by your confession. I taught you that the number one way you release your faith is through your confession. You see, we teach these things, but what's more important is the practice of it. It's not just the truth that you know that will change your life. It's the one you practice. Christianity is practical. For instance, now, watch this. When you are attacked by lack or scarcity, what do you say? That is where the practical application comes. When you are faced with danger, what do you say? When sickness attack your health, pain here and there, how do you talk? That is where the practical, I'm teaching you now theory, the real practical will come from life's challenges. Life will test your faith. I've taught you. Am I communicating? As simple as this may sound, many Christians find it hard to speak the same thing in consent with God based on his word. It's easy to confess positive when everything is fine. When things are fine, when things are going smooth, it's easy to confess positive. But the real test is when negative situation come, when contrary challenges hit you. That is where the real test comes of your faith. We would like to hear what you will say. Let's see how you will talk. Say it's our year of abundance. There even 100 naira for transport. You are looking for it. We'll see how you will talk in that situation. We'll see whether you will practically apply what we are teaching you now. Are you getting me? When headache, as if they pound, something for your head hit you. Or headache like ringing tune. You know, there's some headache as if na ringing tune. How will you talk at that point? Will you speak the same thing? Will you declare God's word? Will you speak in consent? Will you confess your faith or you will confess your fear? Will you confess your faith or you will confess your doubt? Am I communicating? That's a real test. And when the pressures of life come, you know, very easy to confess negative, to speak in line with what is happening. Even the world we are living in is like that. Anytime you are speaking in line with what is happening, it's as if you are in tune, okay, with the people of the world. But when you are talking based on God's word, you appear to be the alien among them. Have you been there? So it's so fashionable to talk negative in the world we live in. It's so fashionable. Oh boy, the condition of this country, na die with you. Oh boy, my brother, na so. Person don't know where to go shop next. If I perceive sleep, die, wake up. You know, you know, when you are talking negative, it appears fashionable. Even Maggi self to buy Maggi. Person go collect salary. You know, they reach 1 week, oh, it all finish. Prices of everything don't increase for market. Now remain me, Jagaban. Cuckoo kill us for this country. You see, when you are talking negative, it appears fashionable because this is a negative world we live in. But when you start speaking, you start talking God's talk. When you start speaking in line with the word of God, people will now start looking at you. Say, this person is proud. When you were talking negative, you were not proud. But when you are talking in line with God's word, you are talking God's talk, they will now say you are proud. They will even be angry with you, self. They will wait till you want shows. Now only you they go shush. We now only you be Christian, we be Muslim, ba. I mean, come on, Joe. You see the people of you. But you have a choice. Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain. So you use your word not to describe the mountain or the problem or difficulty. You use your word to declare the desired solution. You find out the desired solution from the scriptures. What is written? Because is what you use what is written to change what is happening. Am I communicating? You find out from the word. You meditate on it. You act on it. You confess it. Am I communicating? Say with me, I refuse to be negative. I refuse to talk negative. Now, what is the meaning of fighting the good fight of faith? What does it mean to fight the good fight of faith? Number one. What does it mean to fight the good fight of faith? I'll be fast now. Anyone you don't get, just get the message. Listen to the message afterwards. The good fight of faith is a fight to make the legal aspect of our redemption in Christ your vital experience on earth. The good fight of faith is a fight to make the legal aspect of our redemption your vital experience on earth. Number two, what does it mean to fight the good fight of faith? It is a fight to receive and enjoy all your blood-bought inheritance in Christ. The good fight of faith is a fight to receive and enjoy all your blood-bought inheritance in Christ. That's the finished works of Christ. It's a fight to lay hold on your inheritance and enjoy them here and now. Number three, the good fight of faith is a fight to maintain what Christ has already obtained for you by his substitutionary sacrifice. The good fight of faith is a fight to maintain what Christ has already obtained for you through his substitutionary sacrifice. Number four, what does it mean to fight the good fight of faith? It means to intentionally unleash your faith. Intentionally unleash your faith against stubborn and rebellious situations and contrary circumstances. It means to intentionally unleash your faith against rebellious and stubborn situations of this life and contrary circumstances, in order to enforce the desired changes, making them to align and conform to the word of God. It's a fight to intentionally unleash your faith against rebellious and stubborn situations of this life, contrary circumstances, in order to enforce the desired changes, making them to align and conform to the truth of God's word. Praise God. When do you engage in this fight? When are you to fight the good fight of faith? When should you fight the good fight of faith? Number one, you fight the good fight of faith when what is happening in your life is contradicting what is written in the scriptures concerning your life or situation. I said you engage in this fight of faith when what is happening in your life right now is contrary to what is written in the scriptures concerning your life or condition. Okay? You fight the good fight of faith. Number two, you fight the good fight of faith when you are not enjoying your blood-bought inheritance in Christ. When you are not enjoying your blood-bought inheritance in Christ, you must fight the good fight of faith. Number three, you fight the good fight of faith when you are not living in the reality of all that Jesus has already paid for in full with his own blood. You engage in this fight of faith when you are not living in the reality of all that Jesus has already paid and purchased for us with his own blood. You've got to fight. Somebody paid for you, and an enemy is trying to block you from enjoying it. What do? You fight. Am I communicating? Number four, you fight the good fight of faith when you are facing life storms, the storms of life and challenges. When you are facing the storms of life, the challenges of life, they come in form of trials, they come in form of tribulations, they come in form of temptations, they come in form of problems, they come in form of obstacles, oppositions, conflict, resistance, limitations, stumbling block. They come in form of sickness, affliction, oppression, demonic attack, lack, scarcity, famine, poverty, death. You've got to fight to enforce your victory. Glory to God. Did you get that? Now let's look at scriptural examples of some people in the Bible that fought the good fight of faith. They fought the good fight of faith and walked in victory. Some scriptural examples of those that fought the good fight of faith to secure their victory. Glory to God. The first one is Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, they fought the good fight of faith against barrenness in order to become the father and mother of many nations respectively. Abraham needed to fight the good fight of faith in order to become the father of many nations according to what God told him. Am I communicating? Romans 4:17-21. Sarah too had to fight the good fight of faith to become the mother of many nations. She fought it against barrenness. As it is written, I've made thee father of many nations. This was the rhema God gave Abraham. And when God gave him this rhema, he was barren. They didn't have a child. He said, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Next verse. Who against hope believe in hope. You see the fight? Abraham needed to fight the good fight of faith. Who against hope believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Next verse. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He staggered not. You see, this is a fight. Abraham was fighting. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. My God. Abraham fought the good fight of faith together with his wife against barrenness to live in the reality of the rhema word they received. A father of many nations have I made you. Glory to God. Are you facing a situation of barrenness? Whether it is physical, biological barrenness, or financial barrenness, or barrenness in your business, in your academics, in your relationship, marriage, barrenness in your career, in your job, you must engage in fighting the good fight of faith. Am I communicating? To walk in victory. Then Hebrews 11:11. It says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength or dunamis, power, to conceive seed, which seed? Isaac, and was delivered of a child called Isaac when she was past age. She was postmenopausal. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah needed to fight the good fight of faith to conquer barrenness. Am I communicating? The second example of someone that fought the good fight of faith is David. David fought the good fight of faith to defeat and conquer Goliath. Goliath was the champion of Gath, the giant champion of the Philistine. David needed to fight the good fight of faith to defeat and conquer Goliath and gain victory over the Philistine. And the Philistines were the enemy of the children of Israel, God's covenant people. You see the story in 1 Samuel 17:1-58. It's a long reading. We won't read all of it. Goliath was a national threat. It was a national problem. Nobody had the solution to the Goliath problem. The Bible says for 40 days, Goliath was taunting the army of the living God, threatening them, intimidating them. He will come out day one. Give me a man. He will speak to King Saul. Give me a man to fight me. If he defeats me, we the Philistine will become your slave. But if I defeat him, you people will become our slave. And the moment the children of Israel sight Goliath, he was a giant. One full human being was his shield bearer. As in, the person holding his shield was a human being. The person will go before him. Was a descendant of the Anakim. Normal people have 5 fingers. Goliath had 6 fingers. Normal people have 5 toes. Okay, 10 toes. Goliath had 12. 12 fingers, 12 toes. Instead of 10. If you see his height, intimidating, threatening. The only thing that comes to the mind of the Israelite was defeat, failure, death at the sight of Goliath. Until one young boy that the father sent on an errand to check the welfare of his brethren, and then they gave him some foodstuff to go and give them. David was even too young. He was 17 to join the military. He was too young to join the military. His three eldest brothers were already in the military. They were in King Saul's army. Okay? Eliab, the firstborn. Followed by who? Help me now. Shammah, Abinadab. Three of his brethren were already in the army. He was too young. He was the last born. Praise God. He was taking care of few ships. So the father said, go and check their welfare, how they are doing. Collect this one, give the captain. You know, the moment David landed, he heard Goliath barking like a dog. Give me a man! I defy the armies of Israel today. And at the sight of him, the Bible said the children of Israel, they retreated into caves and hide out. Out of fear. Out of fear. David showed up. He heard this guy talking arrogantly. He asked, what shall be done to the man that defeats Goliath and take away this shame and reproach from Israel? Because Goliath was a reproach. And then they told him what the bounty, the reward that King Saul attached to anyone that will defeat Goliath. Say, number one, his father's house will be exempted from tax, from paying tax. Number two, the king, we enrich him with so many riches. Number three, the king will give him wife, one of his beautiful daughter to marry. Oh boy, without paying dowry, they'll just give you wife, the king's daughter for that matter. What? When David heard, he said, I will take this guy. Glory to God. I will take this guy. But I love his ultimate motivation. He said, is there not a cause? One malaba shatter. There was a kingdom cause. Is there not a cause? This guy is reproaching the armies of the living God. Even though they were not behaving like the armies of the living God, they were behaving like fearful lizards, right? Watch this. Only David had faith in the covenant. How do I know? Look at what he said. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? Circumcision to David meant more than removal of the preputial skin. It's not just removing the prepuce. You understand? No. To him, it meant more. Circumcision was a sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Am I communicating? So for him to say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? David was indirectly saying that we are a covenant people. We are circumcised. This Goliath is not part of the... He has no covenant with God. He has no covenant connection with God. He is uncircumcised. And based on that covenant, the whole of Israel, they are connected with God. They can't be defeated. Are you seeing something? Based on that covenant, God is their partner in this fight. God is their partner. How can they lose? But only David had faith in the covenant. That was why he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? Goliath looked at him. He said, where is the person? David said, I will take him. King Saul looked at him. He said, you are but a youth. Goliath has been a man of war from his youth. Then David said, let me share testimony to encourage their faith. So sometimes people don't believe in you. He said, let me share testimony. He said, thy father keepeth his father's sheep, those few sheeps, at the backside of the desert. He said, the lion came, bata. The bear came, bata. The bear came, the lion came. He said he took one of the sheep, the lion. He said, I went after it. Hey, yeah. What a man. Lion came and took one of the sheep. He said, I went after it. This guy get liver home. Went after a lion. The Lord was the source of his confidence. You remember, I said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Read the book of Psalms. I went after it. And I smote it and collected what? The lamb from his mouth, the sheep. I rescued it. And when it became angry that I have collected his food, it then turned against me. I caught it by the beard. What? So he's face to face. I caught it. Have you seen human being fighting lion? Oh, yeah. What a man of faith. Some of you even common cat. You ran faster than Usain Bolt. Your speed was faster than Usain Bolt. Common cat. You were shouting, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. Carry anointing oil, holy water, everything, pour it on the cat. Somebody said, I caught a lion by the bed. Fusca to Fusca. Hi! May the spirit of faith jump upon you tonight. The problem you've been running away from today, that problem will not just run away from you. The next time you see it, you will tear it to pieces. See, the spirit of faith makes a shilagabataya. It turns you into a lion. You become daring. Kaliko barakatia. He said, I smote it, I slew. When King Saul heard this testimony, he said, the Lord be with you. You can go. The Lord be with you. Am I communicating? And the Bible says, the moment Goliath sighted David, he was looking for the person that they sent. Now this small boy, he said, am I a dog? Kai, he felt embarrassed. Now this small boy they sent may come fight me. Inexperienced boy, small boy like this. He said, am I a dog that you are coming with catapult? He no even hold sword. King Saul gave him his armor. David said, I've not proved it. It's too heavy. Because in the day of battle, it's the weapons you have proved that you use. The one you are used to. Am I communicating? He gave Saul back his armor. So he went with his catapult, slingshot. And then he took 5 smooth stones. Goliath saw somebody coming with a... Say, am I a dog? You come with staff, na stick, even carry. Where a whole human being was holding the shield and sword of Goliath. And the Bible says he cursed David by his gods. Life is spiritual. Goliath was not sure the source of this small boy's confidence for him to come and dare me. That means this guy is depending on something that is not physical. Something in the unseen realm. So Goliath too had enough spiritual intelligence to carry the battle into spiritual realm. He had to involve his gods, Dagon and all of that. He cursed David in the name of his God. Let's see whether David was quiet. Next verse. Look at David's response. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh. You see, he's boasting. Unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Look at what David did. Verse 45. Then said David to Philistine, he said, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. In the name of the Lord of hosts. Do you know that term, Lord of hosts? Lord of Yahweh Sabaoth. Is that not how Nathaniel Bassi sang it? Yahweh Sabaoth. He's the Lord of hosts. The Lord of the armies of Israel. Is a warfare name. David knew the exact name of God to invoke. Because he was in a battle. Am I communicating? The captain of the Lord of hosts, with his army of angelic army of angels, he said, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He said, I come. So the name of Jesus is a weapon. It's a weapon of war. You can use it against lack. You can use it against that sickness. Use it against that pain. Use it against that difficulty. You can use it to come out of debt. Am I communicating? You can use it against armed robbers. When you are attacked, you can use it against accident. In the name of Jesus. Ayagabataya. Do you know the power in that name? Do you know the authority in that name? You can cast out devils in that name. Use it against demons when you are under demonic attack. Start shouting, Wayuala, Mama Namutu. Use the name of Jesus. Katoba lakida kaparakatai. At that name, every demon bows. They surrender to the authority of that name. Every sickness bows. Cancer bows. HIV bows. Every pain has no choice than to take their leave. They bow to the authority of that name. That's the highest name in the universe. That name contains all authority. Supreme authority in heaven, on earth, under the earth. An ultimate power. Use the name as a weapon in warfare. There was one king, I think it's King Asa. In a battle, the Bible says 1 million Ethiopians were arrayed against King Asa, one of the king of Israel. They were in a battle. His army, compared to the 1 million Ethiopians, were very few. Then Asa said, oh God, we don't have any might to go against this army, but in thy name we go against them. And guess what? He won the battle. The Bible said the Lord smote all. Ayagabata. Do you know the name of Jesus is a weapon? He said, in thy name we go against them. Are you going for a job interview? Go in that name. Shalabakasaya. Kebrondekeba. Are you going for visa interview? Go in that name. Malikobakasaya. Am I communicating? Use that name. Invoke it with understanding. Verse 46. This day, not tomorrow. You know, faith is now. David did not say tomorrow. This day, it is with your faith you set the date for your miracle. By your faith, you set the date. You determine the timing for your miracle. He said, this day, you determine when you want to walk in victory. Fire. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Aye. He said, I will smite thee. I will take thy head from thee. And the Bible said, David had no sword in his hand. So which sword will he use? Faith calleth things that be not as though they were. Faith declares the end from the beginning. Listen, faith declares the desired end solution even from the beginning of the fight. He said, I will give your head and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beast of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Am I communicating? So everything is to the glory of God. You cannot win the fight of faith until you learn to win the war of words. This is a war of words going here. Are you seeing something? Confession. It's a war of words. In fighting the good fight of faith, you must learn to profess a good profession. You must learn to declare. Speak, make faith declaration. Confess in line with God's word in the name of Jesus. David did not win this fight until he first won the war of words. Go and count how many words David spoke. He spoke more words than Goliath. I think it's like 14 to 70 something. I've forgotten. There was a time I counted it. Go back and count it. You realize David spoke more words than Goliath. Every problem you are facing right now is making a statement. Are you responding to it? Who is speaking more? Is it the problem or you? The Goliath of life, they can come in form of lack. They can come in form of financial challenge. The Goliath can come in form of sickness, disease, or whatever challenge, problem you are going through. You must learn to fight the good fight of faith. How? Through your faith confession. And your confession of faith, it will activate the anointing. That was what happened next. Watch this. Verse 47. There is a connection between your faith confession or the vocalization of your faith and the activation of the anointing. Yes. Listen, listen. The power of God is voice activated. Faith is voice activated. Victory in life is voice activated. That's why Kenneth Copeland, their TV broadcast, they call it Believer's Voice of Victory. Believer's Voice of Victory, because victory in life is voice activated. Faith is not quiet. Faith is not silent. Faith is not mute. Faith is a speaker, a loud speaker. Am I communicating? Victory in life is voice activated. Faith is voice activated. The anointing, the power of God is voice activated. Kaborabakasaya. You learn to boast in the name of the Lord. That was what David was doing. He said, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Why? Because the Lord is their partner by reason of the covenant. And he will give you into our hands. Next verse. So faith was, by his faith, he was declaring the end solution that he desired. Did you notice? And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came, that's Goliath, and drew near to meet David. Hiya! The moment Goliath, he crossed the line, he took one step like this. Look at what happened. While other Israelites were retreating in fear into caves and hideout, the Bible says David did what? He hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Can you see what was happening here? David did not reason in fear. The Bible says he ran. What had happened? The anointing had taken hold of his mind. He couldn't reason in fear. Remember, he started by what? Confession of faith. He started by vocalizing his faith. And as you vocalize your faith with your words, you steer the anointing. You activate the anointing. And the anointing is in your spirit. The moment the anointing is activated, before you know, it starts flowing. It dominates your mind. Okay? The anointing dominates your mind. At that point, you cannot reason in fear again. The anointing are taking charge of his mind. So he's not reasoning like mortal men. He's not thinking like ordinary men. He's not seeing things the way ordinary men are seeing it. He's now reasoning like God. He's now seeing things with God's eye. He's now, his perspective changed. Are you seeing something? That was why he ran. He was seeing victory. He was seeing Goliath's defeat. He was seeing everything he said we happen to Goliath. In his mind, that's what he's seeing. He ran. And look at what happened. So he didn't hold the thing like this. He slingshot. No. He ran like this. Am I communicating? Next verse. Kalo Basha. And David put his hand in his bag and took a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his head. Hallelujah. I remember one chapter before this chapter, something had come upon David. It's called the anointing. He was anointed by Prophet Samuel to replace King Saul that disobeyed God's command. He was anointed in the midst of his brethren. And the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day henceforth. So that stone is not ordinary. Yeah. I believe angels were like a guided missile. Angels were following the stone. You know, Goliath was wearing armor. The only free space around his forehead, the angels were directing the stone. He must hit target. He must hit target. He must hit target. Are you seeing that? Hit him. Bam! And then what happened? The Bible says the stone sunk into his forehead. Kalabaya. Which part of the brain is here? Frontal? Is it prefrontal cortex or front? Where are my medical people? Anatomy. Where are they? Prefrontal cortex? The part that controls balance. My guy lose balance. Shagabalagadaya. Elekoto freketekete. He lost his balance. All those proprioceptors, or what they call them. Am I communicating? And the Bible, he fell upon his face. See, he didn't fall like this. Mm-mm. He fell like, because he must worship the God of Israel. That God that he had been defying. That God that he was defying. He worshipped the God of Israel. He fell like this. Mando boko satire. With his face to the earth. Next verse. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. Are these not the things he said? Hey, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Thou shalt decree a thing, it shall be established unto thee. As you have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. David heard what he said. Everything he said happened. Look at it. He slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. So which sword did he use? Next verse. You will see the sword. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. He climbed the guy and took his sword. Goliath sword. So the sword he used to decapitate Goliath was Goliath's sword. David had already finished Goliath with the sword of his mouth. The words he was speaking. You know, words are swords. What is it? There is he that speaketh like the piercing of the sword. If you read the book of Revelation, the sword Jesus held was in his mouth. Go and read it. Some say, he that had a two sharp sword coming out of his mouth. Words are swords. You can use the sword of your words, the rhema, your confession of faith. You can use it to slice cancer. You can use it to cut off. Am I communicating? Challenges and problems. Maliko barakata. You use the sword of God's word in your mouth to fight the good fight of faith. You know, they use sword in the old, in those olden days to fight wars. Before the advent of guns and bomb and all these nuclear missiles, what were they using to fight war? Was it not sword? So sword is an instrument. You see, the word, the Greek word for mouth, stoma, it means the front of a weapon. The front or the edge of a weapon. So your mouth is a weapon of war. Your words are weapons of war. Am I communicating? It's part of the weapons of our warfare. The confession of your mouth, using the name of Jesus, they are part of it, the blood of Jesus. All of that, they are part of the weapons of our warfare. Before David did anything physical, he had already used his words, his mouth, to finish Goliath. So he released his faith first with his words. The second thing, action. He ran, took the sword. Poi! Cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Can you shout amen? Amen. Will you start fighting the good fight of faith from today? And bring down every Goliath that have reared its ugly head against you. Malako Sataya. Joshua and Caleb fought the good fight of faith to conquer the Anakims and the inhabitants of the promised land before entering and enjoying the promised land. That's the land of Canaan. They needed to fight the good fight of faith because there were giants in the land. You see that in Numbers 13, 25 to 33, Numbers 14, 6, 10. You see in Joshua, I think 14:12, where Joshua said, give me this mountain. Caleb was telling Joshua, give me this mountain. There were giants in that mountain. He said, give it to me, I will finish them. Am I communicating? Give me Joshua 14:12. Let me see something there. Joshua 14:12. Mando kosa brakataya. Not numbers. Joshua 14:12. Radisco frekete. Now therefore, this is Caleb speaking. He said, now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, these were giants, were there. The cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, that's consciousness of God's presence, then I shall be able to drive them out. Am I communicating? They conquered mountain by faith. The next example is Jesus, our master. Jesus, the pattern son, during his earth walk, even Jesus needed to fight the good fight of faith. Jesus fought the good fight of faith to calm the storms, the raging storms that threatened to capsize their boat and cause accident and even destroy the life of Jesus and his disciple. Jesus needed to fight the good fight of faith to prevent accident during their journey on the sea. The Bible says their lives were in jeopardy. There arose a storm. Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. Give me Mark chapter 4 verse 35. Let us cross over. Listen. Anytime you are about to cross over to the next level, to move to the other side of life, you will have to fight the good fight of faith. Because Satan will stir up storms. The storms of life will arise in a bid to stop you. Anytime you are about to move to the next level of victory, before you experience major breakthrough, there will be storms. This is why you need to fight the good fight of faith. Even Jesus had to fight the good fight of faith, or else he would have died in that accident. Am I communicating? The same day, the evening was come, Jesus said, let us pass over onto the other side. Before you move to the other side, you must engage in this fight, because there will be storms. Am I communicating? The darkest night come before the brightest, bright day. Before the dawning of a new day, the night is often darkest, right? Great battles, they come before great victories and great breakthroughs. And look at what happened. Verse 36. He said, let's go over to the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took... Okay, next verse. There were little sheep, and there arose a great storm of wind. A translation say of hurricane proportion. And the waves beat into the ship, that it was now full. So the boat was, the ship was filled with water. And a furious storm of wind of hurricane proportion. You see that? Amplified say hurricane. Hurricane. Arose and the wave kept beating so that it was already becoming filled. Next verse. Shalabataya. He was in the inner part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say, Master, care us not thou that we perish? Praise God. Thank God Jesus cares. Verse 39. Bible says, cast all your care upon him, he cares for you. And he arose and rebuked the wind. He was not quiet. He was not silent. He put his faith to work. How? Through first his confession. He rebuked the wind. He exercised his authority in faith. You must learn to exercise your authority in faith against stubborn and rebellious circumstances and situations of life. Are you confronted with challenges, problems? Learn to exercise your authority in faith in the name of Jesus. He rebuked the wind and the wave. How? By speaking. He said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Hallelujah. So Jesus fought the good fight of faith. You also see that story in Luke 8:22-25, Matthew 8:23-27. Next, another scenario where Jesus fought the good fight of faith was when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Give us John 11:1. Jesus fought the good fight of faith to defeat the spirit of death and resurrect dead Lazarus back to life after 4 days. Lazarus had died of a sickness. Jesus arrived 4 days after Lazarus was dead, and Jesus needed to fight the good fight of faith to conquer and defeat the spirit of death and raise Lazarus back to life. Look at it. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. Next verse. Can you remember that Simon the leper that Jesus healed? That was their father, okay? He's the father of both Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And it was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, okay? That Mary that broke alabaster oil and anointed Jesus. You remember her? And wiped his feet with her, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Okay, watch this. Verse 3. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Jesus loved Lazarus. Listen. The fact that Jesus loves you does not mean Satan will not attack you. Does not make you immune to the challenges and problems of life. In fact, it's even more reason why Satan will attack you, because Jesus loves you. There's a wicked devil. He doesn't like your face. He hates you. We hate him too. Look at it. Is it who you love? You must learn to fight the good fight of faith. Next verse. When Jesus heard, he said, this sickness is not unto death. I want you to take note of that statement. He said, this sickness that Lazarus is sick of is not unto death. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Hallelujah. Next verse. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus loved this family. Glory to God. Next verse. And when he heard therefore that he was sick, Jesus, he abode 2 days extra, still in the same place where he was. Glory to God. Next verse. Remember, faith declares the end from the beginning. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory, God will be glorified through it. Then after that, said he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Next verse. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to slay thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus was a spiritual man. Next verse. The same place that they were seeking to kill him, he said they should go there. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Next verse. But if a man walk in the light, he stumbleth because... Okay, next verse. I'm going somewhere. Okay. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, listen to this, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. That is a spiritual language. Jesus, a spiritual man, is speaking. Do you know Jesus knew when he died? He was aware. Even though he was not physically there. Remember, he delayed 2 extra days. Jesus knew when Lazarus died. He knew in his spirit. He even told his disciples where they were. He says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. A spiritual man is talking, but carnal people didn't understand him. His disciples were carnal. They didn't understand him. Look at it. Next verse. You know, there is spiritual language. There's a way a spiritual man talks. Apostle James said, the number one place we know that you are spiritually mature is in the use of your tongue. How you talk is the number one measure of your spiritual maturity. There's a way spiritual men talk. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. You see them, ba? They were thinking of this natural physical sleep. Next verse. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. Are you seeing that? So when Jesus said our friend Lazarus sleepeth, he meant Lazarus is dead. But they didn't understand. Okay? They were thinking of natural sleep. But they thought he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Praise God. I say praise God. Next verse. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Because they didn't understand his spiritual language. You know, there are some people that you have to talk to plainly like that. Because they are carnal people. They only relate to carnal things. Am I communicating? Praise God. Lazarus is dead. Listen, look up, look up. I thought Jesus said this sickness is not unto death. Now listen, have you been there that you confess this way? Say the opposite happened. Have you been there? Jesus too faced it. Look at it. You think you are the only one? Jesus faced it. He said, this sickness is not unto death. Satan heard it and killed Lazarus. He made the opposite to happen. Am I coming? You are sick. You are confessing, by his stripes I'm healed, and the sickness is changing gears. It's even becoming worse. The pain is increasing. The swelling is becoming bigger. The doctors say the fibroid is even bigger now compared to 2 weeks ago when you came, despite all your confession. So what are you going to do? What did Jesus do? We'll find out what he did. Did he surrender? You are in a fight. Am I communicating? This is war. That's why he said, fight the good fight of faith. This is my year of abundance. This is my year of abundance. And your account balance, you are even owing bank. You are owing MTN, you are owing Glow, you are owing Ether. My year of abundance. Demon, the devil and the demons heard it. They say, Moku see where you go get mouth talk. Dry his finances. So what are you going to do? See, in this life, it's not what happened to you. It's your response that matter. There is the right way to respond to the storms of life. Then there is the wrong way. Responding in fear is wrong. Negative confession, wrong way to respond. Responding with doubt and unbelief, wrong way. Complaining, grumbling, murmuring, these are wrong ways to respond to the storms of life. What is the right way? It's called the faith response. Somebody say faith response. You must respond in faith. Jesus held on to the confession of his faith. Jesus did not change what he said earlier. He said, this sickness is not unto death. That was his position. That was his conviction. That was his confession. He didn't change it. Even when the very opposite happened. Move to the verse where Jesus arrived and Lazarus was already dead for 4 days. Did Jesus start complaining? Did he say, the word of God, no, they walk again? Am I communicating? He held on. He kept insisting. Aya, pala, conte, kila, brande, kepora, katai. You've got to fight the good fight of faith in the midst of contradictory circumstances, in the midst of contradictory situation. Am I communicating? You must hold fast to the confession of your faith without wavering. Avoid vacillating confession. You confess positive, then challenges come. You start talking negative. You know, stop confusing yourself. Stop vacillating like this in your conviction and confession. Hold on to the word of God. Keep saying the same thing in consent. He said, for he had said that we may boldly say, regardless of what is happening, insist on it until what is happening conforms to what is written. Until what is happening aligns with the truth of scriptures. Am I communicating? Until what is happening becomes, as in aligns and agrees with the truth of scriptures. When Jesus came, he found that he had been in the grave for 4 days already. Next verse. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 14 furlongs. Next verse. Many of the Jews came to Jesus to comfort him. Jump to that verse where Martha met him. He said, "Master, if you were here, my brother would not have died." And then Jesus told her, he said, "Did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" To them, death was the end. But to Jesus, death is not an end. Even death is reversible by faith. I say even death is reversible by faith. Even death is reversible by faith. There are no deadlines in the realm of faith, because faith is Lord over time. So there is nothing like too late. It's never too late with faith. Everything God can do, faith can do. It's never too late with God. It's never too late to change any circumstance or condition by your faith in God's word. Say, "Did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Hallelujah. And then he went to the tomb where Lazarus was, and he said, "Roll away the stone." And then he says, "Lazarus, comfort." He released his faith with his words. He declared words of command. Am I communicating? He exercised his authority in faith. You learn to exercise your authority in faith in the name of Jesus. There is no exercise of authority without speaking words. The Bible says death and life are in the power or in the authority of the tongue. The Bible says where the word of a king is, there is power. So king exercise their authority by speaking words. Am I communicating? It says, "If thou hast been there, my brother would not have died. Go down to where," he said, "roll away the stone." He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, comfort." Next verse, it says, "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go." Hallelujah. Who won at the end of the day? Did he have what he said? He says, "It's not unto death." So what does this teach you? It simply teaches you that when you make confession of faith and Satan makes the opposite to happen, contrary situation comes up, you should not give up. Rather, you should fight the good fight of faith and insist on your faith in God's word. Am I communicating? And hold on to the confession of your faith until you win that battle, until you enforce the changes and make that contrary situation, rebellious and stubborn circumstances, to align with the truth of God's word. Am I communicating? What a big lesson to learn here. Because there are so many people, small challenge, they change their confession. Small challenge, they abandon their faith. They give up. Say with me, "Not me." Apostle Paul had to fight the good fight of faith in order to fulfill his calling and his ministry and finish his course on earth. You see that in 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." You can't fulfill your ministry without fighting the good fight of faith. There are challenges that will come up. Satan will attack you from everywhere. It will stir up storms and challenges. So you must fight the good fight of faith. And you must learn to exercise your authority in the name of Jesus. You must hold on to the profession of your faith without wavering. Am I communicating? So a whole apostle had to fight the good fight of faith. So nobody is exempted. Glory to God. Even Jesus had to fight it. No matter your level of anointing or grace, you must fight the good fight of faith. Because the challenges of life are no respecter of persons. They are no respecter of offices. Glory to God. The last example is Pastor Timothy. Pastor Timothy, who later became bishop of the church in Ephesus that Paul planted was admonished by Apostle Paul to fight the good fight of faith in order to lay hold on eternal life. You lay hold for safety, you lay hold for attainment, you lay hold for accomplishment. You lay hold, take hold, seize your inheritance. Glory to God. You see that in 1 Timothy 6:12. So, not even your ecclesiastical title or your position as a pastor or bishop or apostle exempts you from fighting the good fight of faith. Praise God. And I round up with this. How do you fight the good fight of faith? How do you engage in this fight? Very simple. How do you engage in fighting the good fight of faith? How do you fight the good fight of faith? You fight by engaging the word and spirit of faith. How? You fight the good fight of faith by engaging the word of faith in your heart and in your mouth. Listen, the word of faith must be in two places. Number one, it must be in your heart. You put it there by meditating on God's word, chronic prayerful meditation. Okay? And then it must be in your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you fight the good fight of faith by engaging the word of faith in your heart and in your mouth. You fight the good fight of faith by engaging the spirit of faith within and upon you. You fight by engaging the spirit of faith that is within you and the spirit of faith upon you, because the same spirit within will come upon. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Hallelujah. So you fight the good fight of faith by engaging both the word and the spirit of faith. The word of faith in your heart and in your mouth. The spirit of faith within and upon you. Glory to God. Apostle Paul said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. He said, we also believe and therefore speak. Now listen, the spirit of faith has an attitude and has an action. It has attitude, it has action. The spirit of faith has an attitude and has an action. What is the attitude? Believing, the believing of faith. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe. The attitude of the spirit of faith is that it believes God's word. Okay? And what is the action? Speaking. I believe, therefore have I spoken. So, the speaking is the initial corresponding action. There are other actions that follow, but this is the first one. Am I communicating? So, believing is the attitude of the spirit of faith. Speaking is the action. Am I communicating? It says, we having the same spirit, not another one. Look up. We have the same spirit of faith that Abraham had. We have the same spirit of faith that Sarah had. We have the same spirit of faith that the three Hebrew boys had, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that were thrown into the fiery furnace. We have the same spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Please restrain those children. Glory to God. No noise. We have the same spirit of faith, not another one, that David had. If David can kill Goliath, you can kill any Goliath of your life. If David can conquer Goliath, it doesn't matter the Goliath that has risen against you, you can bring them down. You can level every mountain to become plain by the operation of the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. We have the same spirit of faith that Jesus had, that Apostle Paul had. We have the same spirit of faith that Joshua and Caleb had. According as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 116 verse 8, Paul was quoting David in this verse. Let's see where he got it from. He said, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." Can you shout amen? "And my eyes from tears." Shout amen. "And my feet from falling." Can you see how David was speaking? This was his faith speaking. He said, "The Lord has delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling." Next verse. "Kabarondo sofretia. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Hey, not in the land of the dead. Next verse. "I prophesy to somebody, that sickness will not kill you. You will kill that sickness with your faith." He said, "I believe." You see, this was the verse of scripture that Apostle Paul was quoting in that 2 Corinthians 4:13. It was David that said it. He said, "I believe." And David was a man that had the spirit of faith. He said, "I believe, therefore have I spoken." He said, "I was greatly afflicted." You see, David, he spoke this way in the midst of great affliction. When you are afflicted, how do you speak? Am I communicating? Rise to your feet. You see, in the midst of staggering opposition, in the midst of affliction, in the midst of contrary situation, you must roar using the spirit of faith. Because this is the way you walk in victory. This is the way you overcome the affliction. Do you want victory? Do you want to triumph? Do you want to conquer the affliction? You must engage the spirit of faith. Can you pray in tongues for a few minutes? Maleko vrakataska pakataya, liga barakataya, lefreketoska. You don't become hopeless. You don't become hopeless and start feeling helpless because of challenges and circumstances and afflictions that come your way. You don't give up. You don't throw in the towel. Am I communicating? Let the spirit of faith arise in your spirit. David said, "I was greatly afflicted," and he had to engage the spirit of faith. Manda kabaya. When you are faced with a dead situation, when you are faced with a challenge of barrenness, when you, the Goliaths of this life, the Goliath of lack, the Goliath of financial difficulty, financial hardship, the Goliath of poverty, the Goliath of sickness, disease, pain, the Goliath of all manner of challenges, when they come against you, let the spirit of faith arise like a giant. Maliborondo sofreketena, kalabakunde ke brakatia, rokata sofreketia, mandeke parakatai, ilabrandekeba. Begin to prophesy, "Father, by the word and the spirit of faith within and upon me, I declare I walk in victory. I walk in ashigabalatai. I overcome challenges." The Bible says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." I have overcome this world. Every mountain before me, it becomes a molehill. I level them by the oppression of the spirit of faith. I take my healing. I fight the good fight of faith. I lay hold on my healing. I lay hold on my prosperity. I lay hold on divine favor. I lay hold on my inheritance. I take possession of my blood-bought inheritance, of the finished work of Christ. Kabalika brandeke barakatai. I overcome the spirit of death. I overcome poverty, lack, and scarcity. I overcome sickness, disease, and pain. I overcome barrenness in every area of my life. I overcome failure, frustration, oppression. Kabalika barondo breketea. Manda kabaya. He said, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold for safety. Lay hold." Manda bakasaya. Manda bora balatiza. Kombreketeke bosha. I will not be a victim of premature death. Lika barakata. I refuse to die like a chicken.
Liko brakatia. You fight the good fight of faith to lay hold on divine protection and preservation. You lay hold on safety, divine safety and security. You lay hold on eternal life for safety. You lay hold on eternal life for attainment, for supernatural accomplishment. You fight the good fight of faith to do the impossible. For all things are possible to him that believeth. Hebrews 11:32. The writer said, time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Samuel, of Jephthah, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms. You fight the good fight of faith to subdue kingdoms. You fight the good fight of faith to wrought righteousness. You fight the good fight of faith to do kingdom exploits. Manda kabaya la barakatai. You fight the good fight of faith to quench the violence of the fire. Manda balakatai. You fight the good fight of faith to come out of every fiery furnace situation. You fight the good fight of faith to obtain the promises of God. Is there who through faith they subdued mountains, they conquered territories, kapateke balatai, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouth of lions. You must fight the good fight of faith with the word of faith in your heart and in your mouth, and with the spirit of faith within and upon you to stop the mouth of lions. Kapalika barakatai. Mandegebo shilagadai. For do exploit. For it is written, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong. They shall do exploit. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. To wax valiant in battle, to turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Alevo shila baladai, imrakata kabarakatai. You must fight the good fight of faith to conquer the spirit of death, to lay hold on the resurrection power of God. Kabarida barakatai. Manda barakatai. You must fight the good fight of faith to activate the resurrection power of God. Alabakosa. Is that by faith women receive their dead back to life? They turn to fly the armies of the alien. They escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness. They became strong. They worked valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the alien. Women received their dead children back to life. Malaba kosebeleti. Erobobobobobobobologodus. Alabrande kebarakatai. Mandabora balakidas. Rakatai. I receive a fresh baptism of the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith will drown every spirit of fear. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Every spirit of fear is completely eradicated, deleted by the spirit of faith. You roar like a lion against the challenges of life under the influence of the spirit of faith. You see the invisible. You do the impossible. The spirit of faith empowers you to believe the incredible, to see the invisible, to dare and do the impossible, to speak the unspeakable. Halabaronde kebrakatai. Ila prondo boko sabalati. Ela prende kebora kabatai. Shalabarondo kebrakatai.
Amarando sopra.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.